you. Let's read his word. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to read this time from verse 25. And we are going to continue from this morning. Well, I'm glad to see some of you who was not here today. Amen. May God just bless us all together. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. We had from verse 1 to 24 this morning. So we're just continuing. Amen. Verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the images that are by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the images which thou shalt cut down. Do you notice how specific God is? First, he had to throw down the altar of his father. It was the altar of Baal. Then he had to cut down all the images that they had. Then he had to offer the second bullock upon the top of this rock. And when he was going to offer it, he had to offer it upon the wood of the images which he cut down. God has a purpose for everything that he says. Verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household. And the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the images were cut down that were by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. Then the men of that city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, Because he had cast down the altar of Baal. And because he had cut down the images that were by it. That caused a religious disturbance.
Amen.
And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? No, that's the same man who had the altar. That was the same man who had the altar. Amen. He who will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself. Because one had cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he had thrown down his altar. And look at this verse now. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and encamped against in the valley of Jezreel. Those same three powers that were devouring the increase of the land, they were gathered together in the harvest time, and they were coming for a showdown. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. He sounded a message out. And Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Amen. All them sister churches. In that hour, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, God and man was united together, and our message was being sounded forth, and the three powers was coming for a showdown. When the enemy come like a flood, God always raises a standard. But I want you to notice, the Spirit of the Lord never came until after the burnt offering was offered. He had to cut down the old altar. Break up all the images. Offer the second bullock in the ordered place. God only provided place of worship. Amen. And after he offered that burnt sacrifice, which God required, between the going away of the prophet and the coming of them three powers, in that hour, then the Spirit came upon him. And a ministry went forth of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we have gathered again this afternoon, we approach thy holy presence with sincerity of heart. We realize that we need your assistance. But we remember your promise. When we stand praying, whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, He will grant it unto us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Make thy divine will and purpose plain unto us. May your word, Lord, show unto us what you require of us, how we should live in this hour, what it will take to bring God and man in a union, that the two can become one again. We ask these mercies of thee in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Bless all that is gathered. Bless all that is gathered here. From the greatest to the least, Lord. And then confirm thy word. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. May have his seat. Now this morning, we were taking a subject that we entitled Preeminences First, then Power for Service. Brother Branham said, a man that is fully surrendered to God is omnipotent. And he tells us in Christ is the mystery of God revealed that God had a threefold purpose. Amen. To have the preeminences in Christ, to have the preeminences in the bride, and to restore the fallen kingdom. This bride must show forth his victory and the reason of his debt. What is the reason of his debt? He died that we can be redeemed back to what we were in the beginning. That was the purpose he came for. Amen. He came for redemption. To bring us back to the original. Amen. And when we are fully restored back to where we can show forth that testimony that we have become the living word made manifest, proving that Jesus Christ is the same today, that we are faith of his faith, life of his life, power of his power. Amen. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. Amen. That would be his victory. To show that he has succeeded in achieving his purpose. If we fail to come to that, then God has failed. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word shall in any wise fail. He said that there will be a perfect man in the last days. Be you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He came and revealed that perfection. The life that was in him that made him manifest that perfection was sent back upon us on the day of Pentecost. Amen. That we can, that life could live in us and have the preeminence in us. And this is that hour when he will display that preeminence. We saw a prophet going forth with a ministry of three poles. Amen. It started off with God above us. That pillar of fire is the heavenly angel. The man is the earthly angel. That heavenly angel is Revelation 10:1. The man is Revelation 10:7. God above us in a pillar of fire, and in the first and second pole, which was the signs to attract the people's attention. Amen. God did signs and wonders around the world. What was the purpose? To show he could heal. To show that he can heal. He wanted to get their attention. The supernatural always attracts the people. But there was a voice of the sign. Amen. The word of God coming from the mouth of God. When the word of God came from the mouth of God the first time, it created heaven and earth. Amen. Hallelujah. And that same God, that same pillar of fire, the Logos. Amen. Was the one who appeared in this day. The prophet says that's the pillar of fire that appeared to Moses. And the one who appeared to Moses says, I am that I am. Not I was, not I will be. I am the eternal God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, that's the same one who appeared to Paul. And the one who appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus said, I am Jesus. And Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And that same one appeared back in the last days in the same form. Amen. So that he can identify the scriptures being fulfilled. Because whenever that pillar of fire comes, an exodus is on. The first exodus. When the pillar of fire appeared to Moses, Moses had such authority. He was God to the people. When the pillar of fire appeared to Paul, he had such authority. His words be Bible. He said, not the Lord say, but I say. Yeah. Not the Lord say, but I say. And what he said was just as good as what the Lord said. Because it became the Bible. That if an angel come from heaven and preach anything different than what he preached, let it be a curse. He said, God will judge the world by my gospel. And Moses wrote the Old Testament. You say, what about Jeremiah and Isaiah and all of them? They were prophets prophesying out of what Moses wrote, expanding upon it. But Moses is the one who wrote the first five books. And that had all the laws for the national life, ceremonial life, religious life, amen, civil life. What Moses wrote governed every sphere of man's life. He laid out all the teaching concerning worship, just exactly how it was supposed to be. And Paul wrote the New Testament. He's the one that set it in order. He's the one that separated law from grace. And that same pillar of fire that came to Moses, that came to Paul, came back in the last days to another prophet like Moses and Paul. He said the pillar of fire has come back in this day to reveal the entire Bible. To reveal what Moses wrote and what Paul wrote. And the pillar of fire did the same signs and wonders. So when the pillar of fire appeared before the people, that was God above us. In the first and second pole. Then that God above us went behind the flesh of this man, and God was veiled, and it looked like a man who was a prophet, like in the book of Genesis chapter 18. Abraham saw a man come walking, and that man knew the secrets of the heart, and that man discerned Sarah's heart. But Abraham called that man Elohim, the God who had created heaven and earth. And Jesus said that as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That same revelation was to come back in the last days. And Brother Branham preached super sign. He said it means Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son. Bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Amen. Hallelujah. The Word made flesh. Glory. He said, who do you say this is? A greater than Solomon is here. There is a man here that can turn on the light. The people wasn't understanding what he was saying. They thought it was sermons. They thought it was just sermons. Amen. It was more than sermons. God was in flesh. Identified his presence to the people. He preached the unrecognized presence of God. God being misunderstood. He preached the unveiling of God. And after he preached the unveiling of God, he turned around and preached the mighty God unveiled before us. What was he saying? God had to be veiled before he could be unveiled. God, who was above us, went in the flesh. And now it was not the gifts being revealed. It was the person of the giver. Amen. The giver himself. They could have impersonated the first two poles. Satan could impersonate a gift of the Holy Ghost. But Satan cannot be the Holy Ghost. He cannot be the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the prophet is now revealing the person is here. How that confused people. They was looking at a man. But that was only the flesh. It was God veiled. The creator. Who could speak into existence. Let there be a squirrel. And a squirrel appeared. Amen. Glory. So we see the prophet understanding the plan of God for this age. Saw how God was condescending from God above us to God with us. Amen. And then that flesh was removed from off the scene. Revelation 10:7, it was taken off the scene. But Revelation 10:1 is still here. Following the message for deliverance. Hallelujah! Still speaking the same message. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Glory! Because now is God in us. The God who was above us. The God who was with us. In the form of the prophet. That God is to come in us. Because he says, in that day, you will know, as I was in the Father, and the Father in me, so I in you and you in me. Then if he was in the prophet, and the prophet was revealing the Son of Man. Hallelujah! Because in Genesis 18, it was not God in Jesus. It was God in a man. God in human flesh. Not the corporal body. That came in the middle of the Bible. When the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. But in the time of Abraham, it was God in a man. And Jesus said, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And the fulfillment of that promise is Revelation 10. Because Revelation 10:1 is that God? Revelation 10:7 is the human flesh. Hallelujah! Glory! And then he says, I will return according to the time of life. And I will visit Sarah. All that time, God was dealing with Abraham. But then he was going to come back around a second time. A visitation.
A window.
For the fulfillment. Of the promise. Because Sarah was to bring forth the promise. Amen. So there was to be the continuation of the same revelation in a many-membered body. When the Son of Man was revealed in the first coming, when he was in the corporal body, when God was in Jesus, amen, then Jesus' flesh was removed from off the scene. And the God who was with us came back in the form of the Holy Ghost. And it moved from a one man to a many-membered body. And they wrote a book of Acts. Hallelujah! And as it was in Alpha, so shall it be in Omega. Why am I saying that? I want you to see what is promised. And then we want to examine from the Word how God is bringing us into fulfillment of what is promised. Hallelujah! So we can recognize the presence of God bringing to pass His promises prophesied for this hour. Amen! You have to see it being interpreted in your own life. Because we are Gentiles. And He deals with us as individuals. Hallelujah! Amen! And here in the book of Judges, as we took it this morning, it was in the harvest time. And we took a long time showing what time is harvest time. And we found from the Bible that harvest time is the end of the age. Just like when Naomi was going back in the homeland. Like when Joshua was going over in the Canaan land. Like when Jesus tells the parable about the wheat and the tares.
The wheat and the tares, the parable, when Jesus told the parable.
He said the harvest time is the end of the age. Amen. And then we found out how the people were crying out to God. They couldn't face the enemy. They couldn't face the challenge of the hour. Amen. And God sent a prophet. And the prophet blasted for the message, showing the greatness of God. And we found out that Gideon and his father had heard that message. Amen. And we find out after the prophet delivered his message, he went off the scene. And we found out that there were three powers united and destroying the land. That brought the economic depression upon the people. Amen. Now, if you notice carefully, as we compare the book of Judges, the story about Gideon, we notice there was a prophet in the harvest time. Now listen to me carefully now. There was a prophet in the harvest time over there. Then we had a prophet in the harvest time over here. There was the angel of the Lord following the prophet message over there. There was the angel of the Lord following the prophet's message in the harvest time. And there's the angel of the Lord following the prophet's message in this harvest time. There were three powers being united over there, bringing an economic depression upon the people. We found out there are three powers uniting and bringing an economic depression in this harvest time. We see the enemy coming like a flood in the harvest time. We see the enemy coming like a flood in this harvest time. We see that there was a uniting time. Those nations united together. The tears being united. And we see the wheat uniting together. Amen. We also see God and man uniting together. Amen. And we found out that before that ministry could go forth in power, God required a burnt sacrifice. Because Gideon wanted to see miracles. He said, God be with us. Where are all his miracles? Amen. Why are we in so much trouble? And we cannot see the miracles taking place. We cannot see the miracles. Amen. So we realize it's a desire that many have today. Here we are in the days after the prophet. And the sick go back home sick. The captive come to service and go back home a captive. They cannot seem to receive the deliverance. We say, oh, we wish that these things could happen. But there was something I want you to notice. God knew the desire in Gideon's heart. He had a thirst to see the living God. He wanted to see God in power. But he failed to understand. You cannot sit down like a spectator in a stadium and expect a platform performance. God wants you to be a participator. He was looking for miracles outside of his own life. He was looking for miracles outside of his own life. Amen. He was full of fear, hiding from the Midianites. He could overcome his own circumstances, yet he wanted to see miracles. His father had an altar of Baal. His father had an altar of Baal. And he wouldn't talk about it. Amen. They had a lot of images around the place. And he would play, not even seeing it. But yet he wanted to see miracles. Yet he wanted to see power. He was playing church. And when the angel came, God called a halt to playing church. It came an end to playing church. God will not move with anybody who is playing church. Amen. The Bible said the angel of the Lord appeared to him that same night. The same man who was crying out, "If God built us, where's all the miracles?" And the first thing was, cut down that altar of Baal your father has. Amen. He didn't say, "Gideon, I like your Scofield Bible." The angel didn't say, "Gideon, I like your Scofield Bible." Amen. I like your spoken word books, how you pack it up nice on your shelf. Amen. The angel didn't say that. He looked at the place in his life where he was compromising. He looked at the areas in his life that he had not yet surrendered to God. Because in the harvest time, it is the entirety of the life. It is the entirety of the word. Because it takes all the life to make the seed. And harvest time is when the fullness of the word comes into existence. This is the age a man must live by every word. Amen. So he was not obeying all that the prophet had said. He had believed God sent a prophet. He had believed denomination was false. He had believed there was coming a squeeze. He had believed that God can do miracles. He had a lot of nice beliefs. Amen. But God is not coming to compliment us on our nice beliefs. God's objective is to have preeminence in his people. Amen. Where this word could live through us. Where this word could live through us. God wanted to do the greater works. God wanted to perform a paradox. Amen. The prophet had spoken all these things. But in order for these things to be manifested, God must have preeminences first. So God required a burnt sacrifice. He says, take the second bullock which your father has. After you cut down the altar, after you break up the images, use that for firewood. Don't go and get something else. Use that. Because when you offer the burnt sacrifice on that firewood, then that wood will be consumed to ashes. What did it speak of? A total separation from all unbelief. They had no image to go back to. They had no altar to go back to. All the old hangovers had to be cut off completely. They couldn't bring the old manna in a new day. They had to burn it. They had. And God was telling Gideon, you have too much a hangover. Cut down that altar. Break up them images. Take the second bullock. Offer it upon the top of this rock. In the chosen place. Amen. And after you offer it up, then the God who had appeared on the scene could now pour himself into another mask. God who was veiled in the prophet could now be veiled in him. God who had sent the prophet could now send him. Amen. Then he could have a ministry of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Notice the first thing the angel did. Amen. He removed the inferiority complex. Oh, I don't think I'm brave enough. Oh, I wouldn't have no influence with them people. Well, who will listen to me? Who will listen to me? Amen. He said, the Lord is with you. Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? The angel was trying to get him to see himself the right way. He was breaking all them fears and doubts from around his life and lifting his faith up by showing him his predestinated position. Amen. Letting him know he was a predestinated channel called by the prophet's message. And even though he was not in the condition he was supposed to be in, God was going to bring him into that condition. Because God didn't make no mistakes by choosing him in that age. You must be willing this evening. You must be willing this evening to lay aside your inferiority complex. Lay aside your excuses. Lay aside your hangovers. And see this word truly reflected in you. The second thing the angel did, he required a burnt sacrifice. And the third thing, the angel veiled himself in him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he blew a trumpet. What it is? A quick, short message. That pulled the scattered churches together. That pulled the scattered churches together. And give them some supernatural strength. Why is all the division today? Why is this church this way and that church that way? Amen. Because people don't know their promise. Because people don't understand the hour from the Bible that we are living in. Because people are still shut up unto that faith. But when the scripture is inspired to us, we have an open channel. We have an opened channel of inspiration. Amen. So God had to call a halt to plain church. Are we willing to stop playing church? Are we willing to be more serious? Are we willing to stop living in fear and living below our God-given privileges? Now, when I say playing church, I don't mean that you're not sincere. I mean failing to live in your position that this message reveals. To disbelieve that is sin. I'm not talking about committing adultery or drinking alcohol or something like that. I'm talking about a believer who's coming to church and whose life don't have no victory. Who trying to evade confrontation? Evade. Because they have a spirit of popularity. They want everybody to pat them on the back. Say nice things about them. Oh, so they can just enjoy that so much. Amen. Trying to seek honor for men. Amen. Such a person cannot have the faith of our Lord Jesus, the Bible says. Jesus said the world hate me. Jesus said that the world hated me. Because I testify against the evil in the world. Amen. He was to be a sign evil spoken of. And they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. You are persecuted but not forsaken. You are cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus. We are come to the sheep for the slaughter all the day long. Amen. It's not a flowery bed of ease.
It's not a flowery bed of ease.
Amen. This is everyday living for Christ. Out on the battlefield. Out on the battlefield. Making converts for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And that is what we are faced with. A life that will not live for Him every day is not worthy of this gospel. Amen. God don't just want to congregate people. God don't just want to establish churches all over the country. God is not come to compete with the denominations. That's religious Olympics. Amen. God is looking for preeminences in His people. That's the promise of this hour. Amen. So the first thing, before any miracle could operate, God called a halt to plain church. Amen. God says, stop right there. Not one step further. Clean up this thing. Cut down that altar. All the things that you left undone. Amen. God was pointing to the places that was right there that was hindering God from coming in and have the preeminences to reflect what the prophet spoke of. Nothing was wrong. It was Gideon who was not living by every word. The problem wasn't on God's part. God sent the prophet. God anointed the prophet. God revealed the word to the prophet. God took the prophet off the scene. God left us with a message. And by reading and hearing, we know all what is to happen. But reading it and hearing it don't make it happen. After we become hearers, we have to be doers. Amen. And Gideon wasn't too good of a doer. So God said, stop hearing it. God said, don't just hear it. If you recognize the truth, go to acting upon it. Mix it with faith. Amen. And God made a demand upon his life. He didn't send us to entertain you. He sent us to encourage you in the faith. He sent us to put you in remembrance what the prophet said. Amen. And God was calling for all them altars to be torn down. That altar is a place of worship. What we put before God, what has first place in our life, amen, that becomes our God. Whatever we put before God, whatever hinders us from truly letting God have his preeminences, is an image that you are bowing down to. If you want to be popular, So you won't testify to your neighbor. Because when you're in need, your neighbor give you this and your neighbor give you that. So you don't want to offend the neighbor. Because you don't want to lose your benefits. You want to be popular with the neighbor. So you can keep getting your benefits. Some of you on the job. You have one life on the job and one life in church. You have a double standard. Amen. When a person does that, then is an image that they have. That is not the image of Jesus Christ. And all them images had to be cut down. So that Jesus Christ could have preeminence. That he could fulfill all righteousness in you and me. Amen. But when the burnt sacrifice was offered, God and man became one. The Spirit came down upon him. He and God was in a union, an invisible union. And he was sounding forth a message. And that message was gathering the elected together, preparing them for the showdown. Amen. So what was this burnt offering that God required? Because if God required that burnt offering, and is when that burnt offering was offered, it was then that God came down upon Gideon. It was then he received power for service. It was then he performed the paradox. Amen. That burnt offering speaks of full, complete surrender. It speaks of unreserved consecration. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus as we close. The book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1. And I'm going to ask the brother to read from verse 1 to 9. From verse 1 to 9. You read it. Oh, okay. Leviticus 1. And the Lord called unto Moses. And spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, before the Lord, Remember, it must be of his own voluntary will. It's not a commandment you're trying to keep because you're afraid. Out of the depths of your heart, your love for him, your desire to please him, you want to offer it voluntarily. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. Why does he do that? He must identify himself with his sacrifice. And it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering, that is to kill it, and cut it in pieces, and the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar. And lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's sons shall lay the parts the head and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But its inwards and its legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice. An offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now listen to this carefully now. Moses gave the people this law. I'm closing with this last scripture. And this is the climax of my message. Preeminences first. Then power for service. What was the preeminences? God said, offer a burnt sacrifice. What did it speak of? Unreserved consecration. Before this third pole could come into operation, the spoken word that could create, stop the sun. Amen. When the squeeze comes, watch the third pole then. While we on this, just let me inject this. There are three phases of the third pole. The opening, of the word is the third pole. The opening of the word, the revealing of the word. The spoken word is the third pole. And the preaching to the lost is the third pole. We have the opening of the word. But that is to give us a perfect faith. Which is to make us understand our position in Christ. With a perfect faith, then we can speak. If you say to this mountain, when the bride comes to that spot, amen, then it will go out to the lost. So until that time, we are under the revealing of the word. And these divinely revealed truths is literally turning our heart back to the faith of the fathers. Bringing us from faith unto faith. Bringing us from faith unto faith. Changing us from glory unto glory. Bringing us back in the image and likeness of God. Then we can speak into existence. When we become the masterpiece. When we become that image. Like the prophet was. When he came back in the image of the word. Jehovah struck him. With inspiration. With inspiration. Like Michelangelo struck his masterpiece. But Michelangelo.
Oh, Michelangelo.
Amen. And when the Holy Spirit struck the prophet, he could speak. He said, let there be a squirrel. Because he was a masterpiece. He was in the image of the word. Amen. So this burnt offering spoke of unreserved consecration. Now don't let the devil steal your attention now. You focus to me. Amen. And God was requiring of Gideon to offer a burnt sacrifice. But in the book of Leviticus, it shows us how they offer that sacrifice. If we understand that, we'll know what Gideon had to bring. And if we understand what Gideon had to bring and offer before the Lord, we'll understand what we must do in this hour in order to bring God and man as one. Now, you miss this. You miss that preeminences. And all you have is the intellectual gathering. You miss that preeminences. And all you have is congregating people. All you have is congregating people. But you strike that channel. And you are being made ready for a ministry of the sword of the Lord. Because we see that between the going of the prophet and the showdown with those three powers. They had to skin the animal. Because it might look like it have no blemish outside. It might look as though there is no blemish on the outside. They had to skin the animal in order to expose the inside. to make sure that it had no blemish on the inside. Jesus told them Pharisees. He said, you are whitened sepulchres. Whitened tombs. On the outside look white and nice. But on the inside, he said, it was full of dead men bones. He tells them, he said, outwardly they are sheep. Outwardly they are like sheep. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. He said they were pure in the body. Pure. But they were defiled in the heart. Amen. So it's not external religion. The inside is what God's looking on. Sometimes we can say, I don't commit adultery. I don't drink and smoke. But you might have a temper like a buzzsaw. Amen. You might like to debate and argue. You might be pure in your body, but you're defiled in your spirit. Like the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. The Bible said Jesus looked on the man. And Jesus loved him. He was pure in his body. He was refined and cultured in his spirit. He was keeping the commandments since he was small. He was living a godly life. But he couldn't receive the message of the hour. He came to the right person. He came to the right person. He asked the right question. He got the right answer. But he made the wrong decision. Amen. They had to skin the animal to make sure on the inside had no blemish. Then they had to cut it in pieces. Not just cut it up in small pieces. That would take the head off. Then the feet. Then the inwards. And then the fat. The head spoke of the thought. Amen. The feet speaks of the walk. The inwards, the intestines, speaks of the desires and the affections. And the fat were the choices and the best parts, the most desirable parts of the animal. All had to be offered. Not just offer part of it. Some people would offer some of the fat and keep some for themselves. Amen. Some people have some very good desires. They might wash the intestines in water. They have good intentions. But then they won't offer the fat. Amen. But everything had to be offered. And it had to be wholly burnt. Nothing was left for the offerer. It was a full, complete, total surrender of his entire being unto God. Today, a lot of people exalting their own knowledge above the word. But they had to lay down that head. They must lay down that head. A lot of people still walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They claim the name of Christ.
They claim the name of Christ.
But they don't walk worthy of the vocation. Before the promise could be fulfilled, God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. Paul says, walk in love. John says, walk in the light. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. Don't walk after the course of this world. Jesus said, he that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What kind of walk are we walking? But Abraham said, the only thing I can point you to is the bloody footprints of Jesus Christ. But Abraham said, the only thing that I can point you to is the bloody footprints of Jesus Christ that goes through the Bible. Amen. How many are willing to walk in that today? Amen. They had to make sure the feet had no blemish in it. In the Bible, had a man named Asa. He died with diseased feet. Then you had Uzziah. He wouldn't listen to the word of the priest. And he died with a leprosy in his head. You had a man named Ahaziah. One of Ahab's sons. Amen. He was going after false gods, all kind of witch doctors. And his intestines rotten and fall out. Amen. But for the burnt sacrifice, that the lady head down. Cast down all reasonings. All imaginations. Pull down these strongholds. Lay aside every interpretation that is contrary to the revealed word. Amen. We have to lay that head down. We have no thoughts coming. Amen. Glory. This is our head. We want no other head but this head. We have his thoughts. Amen. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Then they had to wash the desires with water and offer it on the altar. Our affections must be set on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Our feet must be washed in pure water. The washing of the water of the word. And then the fat. All that God bless us with. Amen. We have nothing except what he gives to us. And whatever we give to him is only out of what he has given us. Amen. And that spoke of preeminences. So Christ could walk in our feet. Think with our minds. Believe with our hearts. We can love the Lord. with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength that spoke of the burnt offering. A full, complete surrender. When Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. He said, Father, I know you hear me always, because I do those things that please you always. His life was not for himself. He said, I don't do nothing except the Father first show me. He had thus said the Lord, or he kept still. And the same harmony that existed between the Father and the Son must now exist between the bridegroom and the bride. Before that ministry could come into effect, there must be a full, complete, unreserved consecration. Where every faculty of ours is laid down on the altar. Because this third pull is when Christ is reproduced again in human beings. It is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Having preeminences in his people. That in that day you will know. I in you and you in me. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God required that burnt sacrifice between the going away of the prophet and the coming of that showdown. And when Gideon offered that burnt sacrifice, showing full, complete surrender to God's revealed will, it brought God upon the scene and a ministry of power. If God could find that same preeminence this evening in people who might have had wrong thoughts, held on to their own private ideas. Sometimes the minister is bringing the word, and they won't receive it because they have their own opinion. Even though it is read to them out of the Bible and the message. Oh, sometimes people still have the hangovers. They didn't die out of all the old hangovers. Jesus said you cannot put new wine in old bottles. You cannot take a piece of the new garment and patch it onto the old garment. The old garment was the old way of life. The old covering. The old customs. The old traditions. The old religion. Like Elisha, he tore up his own to take the mantle of Elijah. Elisha tore up his old mantle to receive the mantle of Elijah. But a lot of people, they get so accustomed to the old coat. It's all tore up and full of holes. It never brings them into a union with God. It never gave them favor before God. It never really pleased God. But they're so accustomed to it. They wait for so long. They just like the comfort of it. They feel strange by just laying it completely aside. So when they get the new garment, they take off a sleeve. And they put the sleeve on the old garment. And they take off piece of the new garment. And they patch up the old garment. Because they tell themselves, I will take too long to get accustomed to the new garment. It might take me too long. Amen. So they just want to patch up the old garment and keep it. Jesus said, It only make matters worse. Let's tear up the old garment. Let's break down the old altars. Let us break up the images. And upon this rock, the revelation of who the Son of Man is, let us offer the second bullock in the ordered place upon the wood of these images. And if Gideon met him upon that condition and he responded in that manner, in that harvest time, he's obligated to do the same for us. If we meet him in this harvest time and we meet the conditions he required of us. The angel had specified what requirements had to be met. And when he understood God's requirements and he was obedient to the word, it brought a union of God and man. It brought a ministry of the sword of the Lord. It brought a total deliverance for the people. Amen. If that could happen, Tororo will never be the same again. If there's a burnt sacrifice offered in Tororo, there'll be a ministry of the sword of the Lord and of Charles. There'll be a quick, short message to pull the scattered churches in this community. When the power of this church rise, it will pull its brethren. It happened in the time of Gideon. It was a type of this day. It shows the requirements of God after the going away of the prophet and the ministry of the sword of the Lord. How many want to be a burnt sacrifice today? How many can say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I am willing to lay down my head, lay down my feet, lay down my fat, lay down my inwards. If you are willing to do that this evening, let's stand to our feet. As we bow our heads, Almighty God, as we lift our hands to you today, we know that's a sign of surrender. And we are surrendering to the revealed will of God. As we see the plan of God being revealed to us, then we are approaching you according to that plan, and we are pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, pleading the promises of God, knowing that you are a covenant-keeping God. You remember your promise. And if we are willing to believe it, you are more than willing to confirm it. The people have lifted their hands, Father, as a sign that they believe, that they are willing to surrender. They are willing to come to a consecration. Oh God, may we offer ourselves a living sacrifice.